Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host in Los Angeles and syndicated around the world. I'm at Sheena Metal Spiritual. com to check out my website. And this is Raising the Vibration. We're at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. And of course, LiveParanormal.com is the live paranormal radio network syndicated around the world through iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and more. Please join us every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. I gather the brightest and most beautiful minds, hearts, and souls in the spiritual community, the paranormal community, the world of give back and passion and service. And we talk about ascending, inspiring, evolving, and loving. Raising the Vibration, of course, is an offshoot of a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded almost 6 years ago to carry on my mother's teachings, both spiritual and humane, after her passing. And we are working always through the spiritual movement to bring more peace, love, kindness, and unity, and a vibrational uplift to the world. Every week on the show, I gather people who understand passion, give back, understand what it means to be in service, and are always asking, what can I do to make the world a better place? And my guest today, certainly no exception to that. As a matter of fact, she was the very first guest when we rebooted this show here at the Live Paranormal Radio Network. And I think the only guest I've had on more than once, and I just keep having her back again and again and again and again and again and again, because that's how it goes, right? The wonderful Andrea Perrin is here. So excited to have her here and to be here in person with her again. The sound you hear in the background, the little ding-ding sound, is, of course, my little ding-ding, Cullen the cat. You may hear that throughout the show. Right now, he's taking a bath, which is what, you know, we all should be doing as during Raising the Vibration Radio. Andrea, welcome to the show. It's so wonderful to have you here, my friend.
Hi, I am taking a bath. No.
Right?
I'm actually clothed right now, although you wouldn't know because we're on the phone, not the computer.
Have you ever done a show taking a bath?
No, I'm just way too afraid. Not that I'm afraid that somehow a camera will be turned on. I'm just so afraid that I'll drop the friggin' phone in the water and electrocute myself.
Okay, so, you know, I do two video shows here, Tuesday and Wednesday night. I actually do three, but Tuesday and Wednesday night I do psychic readings and spiritual talk for Live Paranormal's video network.
Yeah.
And when you and I were in Joshua Tree making a movie, I was experimenting with my new two mobile tripods that I keep in the car so that I can do the videos wherever I am. And I was sitting on the bed trying to get the camera angles right, gas naked, and I accidentally hit go live, and I did a seven-minute Facebook Live naked, completely unknowing, and there were seven people there. I know who one of the people was, and I have been forgiven, but somewhere out there, there are that six people that saw me naked trying to adjust a tripod for 7 minutes. Yeah, that happened.
Okay,
how about that?
See, you know. Okay. All right. So you beat me hands down. I will never, ever do a show in the tub unless Mr. Bubble is in there with me. And and the phone is on some kind of a tripod where it's turned away from me, and there's no way it can film anything. And there's no way I can drop it in the water. That would only be the only excuse. oh, my God, I can't believe that happened to you. I mean, part of me wants to laugh out loud, and then part of me wants to cry for you because I'm so modest, and I'm just so, some would even say a prude, that I would be mortified. I would never show my face in public again. I would just disappear under a rock somewhere. Whereas you, the Aries of the two of us, me being the, you know. Yeah. Did you see me naked? Yeah. No.
Only 6 people actually saw it, but I've probably told 100,000 people. I think it's hysterical. I think you need to laugh at your mistakes. I mean, it was mortifying at the time. The most mortifying thing wasn't that it happened, because I hit end as soon as I saw it, and then I hit delete. Yeah. And I'm sitting Indian style on the bed, so you could see the whole thing. The mortifying part was when I went to Facebook to make sure it wasn't still running, it hadn't, the delete hadn't quite made it to the Facebook page yet, so it was still up there with past videos, and I could watch the recap of it, and then it disappeared. You know, stuff happens, right? And I talk about stuff like that in my life because it's important for people to know that everybody does mortifyingly stupid things, and it's okay, and you live past them. Honestly, I'm not shy. Like, I would do a naked show if somebody really – if I was doing a serious protest of something, I would. As a matter of fact, when I was in my early 20s and doing my first television show, we all dressed up in the crazy metal outfits and did a talk show, there was a guy that did a show outside of the West Hollywood station. I was in the San Fernando Valley, and his name was Nicholas Snow, and he called himself the Tinseltown Queer. And he did a naked show to broadcast, I mean, to protest censorship, which I think is awesome. And they shut him down, and they got rid of his show because of it. So we did a naked show to protest that his show got canceled. But we were just naked enough. We called it Live Live Nude Nudes, like the strip club that you see when you leave, that strip club you see when you leave LAX. And but we were not quite naked. We were just like my hair sort of covered my breasts, and I wore a merkin, so I had fake pubic hair. And the boys, you know, wore like traffic cones, and we had a Pizza Hut sponsorship, and the girls made bikinis out of the Pizza Hut box. So we just were naked enough. But you know what? That's a protest I can get behind. So I will take off my clothes if it's for a good cause. I have a feeling in the coming years I'm going to be needed to take my clothes off for protests politically.
Well, you know, that might be. You know, I don't know. I don't know anything about anything anymore. I don't know anything about anything anymore. If you had asked me even 5 years ago, if this would be the world I'm living in right now, I would say absolutely hell no, not possible, impossible, not, you know, not my country, not, you know, not, this would never happen here. Everything will be fine. Pandemic. Oh my God. Everybody would get a vaccine. It would be over as soon as, oh my God. You know, no, I mean, I could 5 years ago could not have imagined the world that I'm living in right now. So I don't project forward anymore. You know, I really don't. I mean, when I was at the Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, Upper Michigan Paracon last weekend, and you know, I must have said 100 times over the course of the weekend, we will never take each other for granted anymore. We will never just say, see you at the next, you know, event, or see you next year, or, you know, see you in Gettysburg, or see you, you know, see you. There's no guarantees. And if I was if I was ever unsure of that before, I'm sure of that now. Because, as you know, 3 weeks ago,
my 7-year-old great niece, Lucy Connor, was swept away and killed in floods in Tennessee. My sister Nancy's son's firstborn child was up there with her mother, and their house collapsed, and she was gone, and they found her body the next day 2 miles away from her house downstream, after a wall of water 12 feet high collapsed their house and robbed this world of one of the brightest lights that ever walked upon the earth. This child, all 7 years of age, was brilliant and beautiful and kind and loving and happy, so happy. She was, I was always sure that Lucy was born to save the world. I was sure of it. And her mother, and, you know, even though she and Brendan had parted ways a couple of years ago, and she took Lucy with her up to Tennessee to live with her family up there, to be near her family up there. They parted amicably, and he was always up visiting her. She was always down in Florida visiting him. He remained an extremely active part of her life and fathered her well, and her mother mothered her well as any mother ever raised a child, and she couldn't save her. And nothing could save her. And this was what some would call an act of God. I cannot help but feel that it was an incredibly cruel twist of fate. And this past weekend up in Michigan, it took everything I had just to shed Lucy's light. She was buried on my father's birthday on August 27th. And died on Chip's birthday, Chip Coffee's birthday. You know, and all the connections and all the attachment and all the, my sister is beyond bereft. She is beyond bereft. There is no reaching her right now. She has lost her faith over this. Just abandoned her faith that she has had lifelong and does not believe in a good and benevolent God anymore. You know, so, I mean, we're dealing with some, I mean, my tears have run dry. I just don't have any moisture left. I just don't. I mean, the last time I saw Lucy, she was 4.5 years old. I hadn't seen her in about a year because I travel so much. And she, when I opened the front door of Nancy's house, that little girl came running to me and plastered herself onto my legs as though I was her absolute favorite great auntie. And I don't know how she could have even remembered me, but she had a sense of family that was so strong and threw herself into my father's arms. I have lived almost 63 years of my life and have seen my father cry a few times in my life. I have seen him cry more in the last 3 weeks than in the whole rest of my life combined. And that includes the death of his best friend, the death of his father, you know, the death of his mother, the death of two of his brothers. And yet it was Lucy being robbed from this planet in such a horrific way that just leveled him. And, you know, when you talk about raising the vibration and, you know, lifting others up, there is no consoling inconsolable grief. There isn't. And the only thing, Sheena, the only thing that brings me any comfort at all is that one of Nancy's other grandchildren was staying with their other grandmother. Two of the girls were staying, and one of them walked up to her during the floods, and nobody knew it was happening at the time. And she walked up and she said, "Grandma Becky, Auntie April just came to visit me, and she has Lucy with her. Why does she have Lucy with her?
Oh,
and I said,
yeah.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Oh,
kids
thank
always
God.
Know, right? They always know. They always see all the spiritual. They see everything paranormal.
Yes.
And it's so
well,
just kind
April
of matter of fact to them.
She was April's favorite, and before April passed away, she came a number of times to visit in Florida. And, you know, they were just, I mean, like peas and carrots, you know, thick as thieves, the two of them. And since April passed away, she's visited her several times. But
yes, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, for her to come out and tell her grandmother that Lucy was already with April means that Lucy died very quickly. And for that, I will always be grateful because she was a big girl for seven and she was strong. She looked like I did at that age. Other than the eye color, she could have been me at that age. That's how strong the
wow.
familial resemblance was. And the thing that I was most mortified about was the thought that she struggled and she was terrified and that, you know, when her mom lost a hold of her, when the walls came down, that she, you know, felt so alone and so scared. And apparently that's not how it happened. And it was over very quickly. And for that, I will always be grateful. But do I curse the universe over this? Yes, I do. Yes,
okay.
I do. You know, and I'll tell you, a psychic medium that was at the event the last weekend, I've lost track of time, honest to God. It was the last weekend of August mm-hmm. up in Sault Ste. Marie. And this woman who I barely know, who she didn't know anything about what had happened. You know, I hadn't put a whole lot out about it, and our family's been, you know, in deep grief. And she walked up to me and she said, I got a message for you. And the message is she had to learn, and she looked confused. She looked confused. She said, but I got this message for you. I know it's for you. And the message is she had to come to learn to be a child so that she could help all the children that are crossing from COVID. And I was like, you know,
okay.
What, you know, I mean, and what, you know, stuff continues to blow me away. It just continues to blow me away. I don't even know how to reconcile it. I don't know how to process it. I wish that I could cry more, even though part of me still feels like I'm in shock weeks later that I'm still in shock and I'm doing fake it till you make it and pretend to be okay through every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, if maybe that process, this process, you know, the whole grief of, you know, anger and resentment and, you know, all of that, you know, the process of the seven stages of grief, the psychiatric community calls it the seven stages of grief. You know, maybe that's part of the healing process. Maybe that's part of how we ultimately lift ourselves up from the depths of despair. Because I got to tell you, if there was a barter system in the universe, I'd be gone and Lucy would be back because I would trade my life in a split second to give her a chance at life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you know what? You are needed here and it was her time to go.
I know. I know you might need to
and
tell
I know
my
that's
sister.
Hard. I'm happy to.
Yeah.
You let me know anytime you need me to.
I will.
You know that. You guys are my family. I'll tell her
yeah,
anything
of course.
She needs.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's...
The problem is when a child dies like that, everyone thinks it's their fault. You know?
Oh,
everybody's blaming themselves.
Yeah.
All anybody knows is a child should never die, so it must be somebody's fault.
Right, because that's the only way that we can even begin to wrap our heads around it. Somebody failed. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Here's what happened. We are actively engaged in war with Mother Earth, with Gaia.
Yes.
And she's fighting
yeah.
back.
She's pissed. Mm-hmm.
And Lucy was a casualty.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that I can see this, you know, and maybe there is a higher, you know, my proclivity is to want to believe that there was a higher purpose for this, but the amount of people that have been left vacant with a black hole in their heart over this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Joe Biden says when he talks about the loss of his son, that there's this black hole, you know, and that's the perfect
mm-hmm.
description for how this feels, like this incredible vacancy that you believe can never be filled, that it will never be filled. I truly, truly feel as though a part of me went with her, you know,
yeah,
that I'm mostly
that.
Here. But not completely
yeah.
anymore.
I get it. And I think that's perfectly normal, sweetheart. I think that's how you do
yep.
feel.
Yep. You know, but I am determined. That child was a light on earth. Truly a beacon on earth. And for as long as I am here, I will now, henceforth, shed Lucy's light.
Good for you.
For her. For
good
her.
For you.
To
and that's
honor
the purpose
her.
Of it, sweetheart. That's why it happened. That's what all of this is about. Mm-hmm.
You know, when she was a baby, an infant, you could look into that child's face and see an ancient soul. I mean,
of course,
she just
sure.
She just was, I'd never seen a child like her. I never had. You know, and all children are beautiful. And all of my parents' 15 great-grandchildren are beautiful and lovely and sweet and kind and intelligent, but Lucy was special. There was something about Lucy that was not of this world.
Mm. Mhm.
And
well,
when I got
oftentimes,
when I,
special little souls
that's okay, go ahead.
Come
yeah.
and they come to be teachers. They come for a very
yeah.
short time to teach you what you need to know. And even in their death, they're teaching you. And that happens a
yeah.
lot. It's very common.
Yeah. Well, we went up to Georgia to see my mother and drop my peanut butter cup off because Dad and I were going to be in Michigan for a week. And she needed to be with her family. She needed to be with her grandma and her auntie Chrissy and their dog Sammy, who is her best friend and her boyfriend. And
that's nice when it works out
yeah,
like
well,
that.
Well, they just absolutely, well, they're both spayed and neutered, so, you know, they've got a platonic relationship, but they
yes,
adore each
mm-hmm.
other. Yes, it is. It really is. It's cuddle love, really, more than anything.
Right.
But we took peanut up and we celebrated as much as we could. I mean, we had, you know, just lost her. And I walked in the house and I just held my mother and held my mother, and I kept waiting for her to cry with me, and she didn't. And she leaned over to the coffee table, and she picked up the latest issue of National Geographic, and she said, "Look." And I looked at the cover, and it's a picture of the universe. And she said,
oh.
They're sending out a camera to look, to photograph the entire universe and look for extraterrestrial life. And they've named it Lucy.
Oh.
And she was named after the song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Nice.
That's how she got her name.
The very first woman. Right? Who we are all descended of,
yeah.
The African woman that we are all her descendants.
That's,
is Lucy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Peanut, don't bark.
Some people just come for a season, no. Sweetheart.
Yeah.
We're in luck the cat's passed out.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay, sweetheart. Know that she is fine. She's wonderful. She's happy to be
she
home.
She is. She's with her Auntie April, who is probably teaching her really bad habits and stuff, because April was a juvenile delinquent. Aries upon Aries, like five planets in Aries, a total juvenile delinquent her whole entire life.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And so she's probably teaching Lucy all kinds of unsavory habits and things now already, and I'm sure they're having a blast, because if there was anybody on earth that was fun to be with, it was April. And you never knew what you were going to get into, what kind of trouble it was. There was always kind of a dangerous side of her, you know. You knew if you were with her, you were going to take some kind of stupid risk that you would never take otherwise. You know, and so that was kind of April's vibe, right? You know, really. I mean, she was just incorrigible in every conceivable way, you know, and she was almost 52 when she passed in March of 2017. And interestingly, for a couple of weeks before Lucy's loss, April had been trying to knock on Nancy's door, so to speak, trying to get a message to her over and over again. And Nancy was like, nope, I can't do it. Nope, I can't do it. Chip called me, and he's like, you know, I talked to him about it, and he's like, I'll talk to her. And, you know, I mean, I had you. I had several people that were perfectly willing to, you know, be the conduit and let April's message come through to Nancy. And she rejected it out of hand and said, I can't handle it. I don't know what she's trying to tell me, but I can't handle it. It's still too painful. It's still too raw. I can't. And now I understand that April was trying to forewarn her.
Mm.
I know it. I just know it. And Nancy wouldn't take the call. Nancy wouldn't take the call.
It's hard, you know? It's hard.
Yep. Yep. So
it's
that's what my
hard.
Family's going through right now. How are things going for you, babe?
Yeah, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the play?
Yeah, really. No shit, huh? I'm sitting here giving my little peanut butter cup a full body rub. I'm sorry that we don't have it on video. She's very disappointed that we're not doing a Zoom session because, you know, my little chihuahua, who if you had ever asked me would I fall head over heels in love with a chihuahua, I would be like, if the dog's not 100 pounds or better, I'm not going to fall in love. And here I have this 10-pound bundle of joy. I've always had huge dogs. My last dog was 130 pounds. She was a Great Pyrenees, the most beautiful dog I ever saw, until Peanut fell into my lap. Oh, baby, she's my baby. And she likes to be on all of my shows and all of my interviews. And whenever I'm on the computer and she knows I'm doing my show, A World Awakening, which for anybody who's interested is on my YouTube channel, Andrea Perrin YouTube, you can catch up on all the episodes. It's really awesome. And Peanut Buttercup makes an appearance in virtually every episode of my show and on many of the other interviews that I do as well, because if I'm on the computer and people are talking to me through the screen, she would like to meet them and she would like to be met. And she would certainly like to see herself in the screen. She's very, very particular about sitting in my lap and licking off the lip lard. And so, but now she can't. Yes, I know. She's very, very, you would mistake
fabulous.
Her for French. Yes, you would. I mean, she's with the tongue already, with the mouth, and oh, my God. But now she's just laying here getting a full body rub. And you know what, Sheena? She is my bliss. She is my joy. She brings me joy when everything else feels lost and gone and pain and suffering and oppressive. I look at this goofy little dog and my heart swells to bursting. So you see, I got her 2 weeks before I learned about an emerging coronavirus from Wuhan province, China. And the universe gave her to me. And I rescued her and she rescued me right back. And got me through one of the toughest 2020. Anybody that says 2020 wasn't one of the toughest years of their life has either got to be living off planet or completely oblivious to all of humanity around them.
Yeah, I agree.
And just when we thought that it was going to get better, it turned around and got worse. Why? Because this is soul school, and the test always precedes the lesson, and we have not learned our lesson, and so we're having to repeat the grade, and I want to go on a field trip off campus. I just, want to escape this for a while. I do. It doesn't mean I'm not willing to come back, but boy, do I need a spring break. Even
beam
in
me
fall.
Up, Scotty.
Yep. Except that I can't go because Peanut would be scared. I don't think she would really do well with, a little off-planet excursion. I really don't. Well, maybe she would be okay as long as she was with me. But still, I would really like to escape this for a while. And I don't mean to get on your show about raising the vibration and then lower the vibration. No, that's
which
not why I'm in.
It won't be the last.
I know it. It's just, I also think it's important for people who are listening to know that life sucks for other people besides them, and that it's hard for everybody, and that we all struggle, that we all have times of struggle. I don't ever, no matter how much light and love I emanate in the world, I don't ever want anybody to mistake me as some kind of new age guru that levitates above it all, because I don't. And I go through difficulties just like everyone else does. And, painful times and loss and grief and, the oppressive weight of the stupidity of humanity and the whole nine yards. I mean, I go through it too. And, I think that that's important for people to hear and to know, because I don't want to be perceived as somehow above it all. I'm not. I'm just as susceptible to it as anybody else is. And it's not about susceptibility. It's about how you find your way over it, under it, around it, the obstacles of life, which
you know, are firing at us fast and furious.
Yes.
And, you know, how do you lift up another? How do you rise to the occasion of this paradigm shift? How do we make our way out of the madness and out of the darkness and into the light? And it is a day-to-day choice and chore. At least in my opinion, it is. You know, every day we make a choice. Every day. We open our eyes and we make a choice, conscious or subconscious. How's this day going to be? How am I going to approach this? Oh, God, what's on the agenda today? You know, what's coming down the pike next? What's going to be in the mailbox? Oh, my God. I mean, think about it. Think about the, you know, 10,000 thoughts a day, that conscious thoughts that we have, and how many of them are spent anticipating disaster. You know, once we stop that process consciously and we begin to master our own mind and expect a miracle instead of a disaster, it's just better. It just gets better slowly and surely. It gets better.
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely. But you got to keep believing that, right? You have to continue to believe it gets better.
Yeah.
And that things that happen that are hard happen for a reason.
Yeah.
You have to continue to believe that, too. Because it's hard. Things happen. They're hard.
Yeah.
Life can be very hard. But you have to keep remembering, like you said, it's soul school, right? All the lessons are for something. And it's okay.
God.
I mean, it's not okay that somebody dies as a small child. I mean, that's never okay. You just have to remember she's home, she's happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she's with her favorite crazy great aunt. She is.
Exactly.
I know that. You know, I don't understand why people have an aversion to the paranormal. The only thing that has brought me any comfort is what her cousin said to her grandmother. That's the only thing that brings me any comfort. Grandma, Auntie April came to visit me. Lucy is with her. Why is Lucy with her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God that child didn't die alone. Thank God there was somebody to receive her. You know, that to me, that is the value of and the purpose of spirit in some way, shape, or form, remaining earthbound for whatever reason each individual spirit has. Call them ghosts, call them spirits, call them entities, call them extraterrestrials, call them whatever you want to call them. I don't care what you call them. They are here. We are surrounded by them for a reason. And those who, you know, imagine this. Imagine a world where no one ever saw a ghost. No one ever sensed, you know, an ancestor or a loved one coming to visit. No one ever had any connection to their past loved ones. And for all we knew ever was that when we die, it's all over. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, done. Right? No soul that goes on, no consciousness that goes on, no, you know, character or characteristics that we somehow retain, you know, that we wouldn't know any of that if we didn't have the existence of spirit in our lives. Not any of it.
You're right.
And some people
never see it, never sense it, never feel it, and think we're all lunatics. And that's fine. frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I know.
Right.
I know. I know what I grew up seeing. I know that my sister visits me with such regularity that she's almost a pest. I know that she's got Lucy.
Yeah, my mom was like that, too.
Was she?
Yeah.
For how long?
Yeah, she...
Because we're going on year four here now.
I mean, she's always around, on and off. She was with me all the time the first couple of years. Until I think she realized I was okay. And now she just checks in and out because she's got a job at home. So she's busy with her own job, you know?
Well, Dad and I were sitting on the terrace yesterday or the day before. I can't remember all the days of blended together. But we were sitting out, and all of a sudden, this absolutely overwhelming scent of gardenia just arrived on a terrace that's completely exposed to the outdoors. You know, the swirling air and the wind, and all of a sudden, an overwhelming scent of gardenia, and that was April's scent. And he looked at me, and I looked at her, and we both said, "Hi, honey."
Yep. Yep. Isn't that true?
That's how she always shows herself. That's how she always announces that she's come for a visit, is before we have any other sense of her, we smell what we always made fun of her about, which was her old lady perfume, which she liked to bathe in because she loved the scent of it so much.
Hysterical.
Yep.
With my mama, it's hummingbirds. Yep. And I always know when she's trying to tell me something I should be doing because those hummingbirds show up and they will hover outside the window and stare me right in the eye. I'm like, yes, 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 Mom, I know.
Okay, what about that snowy owl that showed up outside your bedroom in Southern California? I'm sorry, but snowy owls don't go to Southern California, darling. That was that was something supernatural.
Yeah, and the giant
that was amazing.
Did I tell you that? Once I was swimming in my pool and it was daylight. You never see owls. The snowies I would see at night, but actually the snowy even had babies outside my window. And they would all be out there looking at me. That was before my mom died. But I was swimming in the pool, you know, in the heat of the summer, and it was broad daylight. And I looked up and this owl was sitting on the ledge. Like, I live in a townhome complex up north, and there's like little ledges around the windows, just sitting there. And as I started to swim, it got up and it flew the length of the pool on top of me. And it was so big that it completely shadowed me and the pool. I mean, it probably had a 7-foot wingspan. It was giant. You don't realize how big owls are until they fly. The thing is huge. And the first thing I thought was, what is that owl doing in Sherman Oaks? And the second thing I thought is, what is that owl doing in the middle of the day? And why
hovering
is it flying,
over you in a pool?
A foot over my head. Yeah. And so my mom was into the owls too, but mostly with her, it's the hummingbirds. I think I told you this. I even found ones inside the locked house once. When I was going through her house, there was no way it could have gotten in, and it was just sitting on the mirror, the bulbs of the bathroom vanity, just looking at me, bright red. I just saw a gold one yesterday, just hovering outside the screen door, staring at me. And I know that's her. I know that's how she comes through. I know she wants to come through as a hummingbird because she just loves hummingbirds. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to do that. She can just come and talk to me. But I think she just digs hummingbirds and likes being inside that little body.
Yeah.
And birds are so great because they will step right out, right? They are super transmediums, and they will step right out.
Yep, they sure do.
And let you in. I don't doubt that she'll always be with me because she has no urge to come back. Unless I go home and convince her to come back, there's no way she's going to come back. And even maybe not then because she just was done with Earth. You know, she was a 9, and that's a completion number, and she was just done. If you ever meet 9s, they're usually just done. I'm an 11, so that's a master number, so that means I just keep coming back and coming back and coming back and teaching. But it's hard to teach because you also kind of get socked in the nuts. I mean, I'm going to be really
exhausting.
I know I'm saying that isn't happy, 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 but I'm having a COVID relapse today, so I'm not feeling 100%. I'm not even feeling 50%. So COVID's like your crazy ex-girlfriend. It just keeps coming back.
I'm stealing that. I will pilfer that line.
Right? You don't ever really get back together with COVID, but it sends you crazy emails in the middle of the night. That's what it's like.
It does. It stalks you. Yep.
It does. It stalks you, and it's stalking me really bad right now. This week, but I will tell you that it's hard, and I talk to my clients about this a lot. When you're sent here to be a teacher, it's hard because you have to live your own life and learn your own life lessons on top of all the time you have to spend teaching other people. And it's very time-consuming. Sometimes your own life lessons get shoved to the back because you're so busy helping other people. And that's not supposed to happen either. So then Spirit kind of wraps you on the knuckles for that. And it's difficult sometimes. This life is not for pussies. It's difficult.
No.
But then I look at this beautiful cat of mine, this little baby, 5 months old, and he is truly the most perfection. He's my sixth cat, and I love them all like my children. But this little guy, he's such a healer. Like just being near me, he heals my heart.
And Peanut does that for me too, my Princess Buttercup.
Right. I know how many beautiful things there are in the world. And just holding him and kissing his feet and singing a little song to him and the sweet little look in his eye. I know he was sent here to heal me from this crazy last year and a half. And and to be affectionate. We don't get any affection anymore. People are terrified to touch each other. You know, I grew up in the entertainment business where like 50 people would hug me a day. Now nobody hugs you, and because nobody's been hugging, people have sort of lost their people muscle. So people have become very wary of people and very non-verbally and non-affectionately communicative. It's a very lonely time in the world right now.
It is. It's a very lonely time in the world. And when I was in Michigan, everybody that came up to me said, can I have a hug? I'm fully vaccinated. You know, I mean, people even brought their cards to show, you know, like, please, can I have a hug? Please, I need an Annie hug so bad, you know. And I mean, I just held my breath and just went deep dive all in with every single person that asked me to touch them. I did. And threw caution to the wind and just loved them well and shed light everywhere that I went, Lucy's light. You know, I carried the torch for her. And, you know, I'm fine. Everything's fine. And it was a blessed, blessed event. 1,000 people gathered, 1,000 people, and everybody tried to keep their distance, and yet we couldn't because we all missed each other so much. And, you know, I must have said 100 times that weekend, we'll never take each other for granted again. We never will. We never will, because there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees that we'll ever see each other again after this. You know, and that's a very painful thing to learn, but it's an important thing to learn. And I spent a lot of time that weekend in 4D and 5D. I was not particularly earthbound. I kind of floated around that, you know, that venue, and just went from one person to the next, and held their faces in my hands and kissed their foreheads and wrapped my body around them and let them cry. And I mean, it was very healing. It really was, because everyone's feeling it. You know, it's not just one or two or 10 or 20. Everyone is feeling this thing that what it's doing is it's instilling a notion, consciously or subconsciously, instilling a notion that we do need each other, that the separation that we have had to endure by force, by necessity, is not the truth of our being, that we do need each other, that we are connected, and it is in the absence of that physical affection and connection that we've come to appreciate each other in an entirely different way. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's kind of reverse psychology. You know, it's like, okay, you've always had this. Now I'm going to take it away from you, and let's see how you react to that. You know, because far too many people in this world think that we are, you know, separated from each other, that we are, you know, there's this dissociative thing that's been going on now this for years that we, you know, have gotten all tribal and, you know, you're not part of my group and you go away. You don't think the way I do and you don't behave the way I do. So I don't want to know you and get away from me and all of that. And now I think we're coming into what the whole point of this is, which is a true spiritual ascension and a realization of oneness. And that's where we've got to get. And it's very gradual, but I do sense it happening. It's happening.
I agree. I agree, most definitely. And I think that all it takes is one person to believe and the vibration starts to raise, right? If you think you don't make
that's
a difference,
right,
you're wrong. So this just takes one person. That's all it takes. And
yeah,
the more people together, the more the vibration lifts. And I don't know why people are so reticent to raise their vibration. Sometimes when I talk about raising the vibration, and this is a story that may surprise you, Annie. Sometimes when I talk about raising the vibration, I get kind of nasty emails from people about it. I know that seems so strange, right? But why do you talk about raising the vibration? You know, the vibration shouldn't be too high. If the vibration of the earth is too high, and then they'll go into big, you know, new agey blobbity shit poo about, for lack of a better term, that's my spiritual term. Did you like it? Blobbity shit poo. About how, you know, a high vibration can hurt people and the earth can hum too high. And it's like, look, I'm not talking about, when I talk about raising the vibration, I'm not talking about like some kind of physics, although I do think there is a quantum physics element to all spirituality. I'm not saying we want the earth to start spinning faster or we want to speed up the climate polarity. You know what I mean? We're not trying to make the oceans part. I'm not Moses. I'm talking about just raising up the energetic quote. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, no. Sometimes I'm pretty sure I'm Job, but I don't know that I'm Moses. You know what I mean? We're talking about raising up the spiritual hum, the energy. How can that be bad? That's like people, I know people that are, I was going to say a word that starts with ass and ends with holes because that's the kind of mood I'm in. I know people that like scold me that I say I love you too much, or scold me that I smile too much, or I laugh too much, or I make jokes too much, or, you know, like, so I do
live videos.
Yeah, they
should go away.
Right.
Let them go find a troll to crawl into a hole with and see how,
exactly,
you know, how it feels to live in the dark,
exactly,
you know, for a while. And then,
exactly,
you know, maybe they'll, you know, turn around right and gravitate, you know, back toward you,
exactly,
because
exactly,
obviously they don't get it. And now there's two sides to that coin. It's like, you know, you can just unconditionally love them and tell them that and, you know, just kind of let it go, or you can just turn away. You know, I've gotten to the point where I've come to a realization that in terms of having
close spiritual encounters. I'm not here for everyone. There's like 7+ billion people in the world. I can't interact and integrate with everyone other than on a spiritual level. So yeah. I am at 62. I am selective about who I allow into my world. And if we're on the same wavelength, if we're kind of, you know, floating around on the same frequency and all of that, and we kind of get each other, you know, like they make sense to me, I make sense to them, those are my people. You know, that's who I'm here right. to help teach so that they can carry the torch, so that they can be the beacon, so that they can be the light, to learn to be the light that they seek from me, you know,
yes.
because I'm not a light source. I just reflect it.
Yes.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not prime creator. I'm just an element of what I perceive to be the infinite intelligence and the wisdom and the love that's in the universe. And I try to embody that on this plane of action. But
yes.
I'm not the source, you know, and we can all tap into source energy. But a lot of people are afraid to do that. A lot of people are, you know, they don't even understand that love is their superpower, that they can literally transform their own lives and the lives of others by simply being love. You know, it's an action
yeah.
word. It's a verb. It only, you know, it's disguised as a noun and it's listed as a noun in the Oxford English Dictionary, but it's not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action word. You know, love in conceptually perhaps exists as a noun, but as a modus operandi, it's a verb. You know, and when people
yeah.
start treating it that way, and start, you know, kicking into action and, you know, just lifting, you know, extending a hand, extending a smile, telling somebody that you walk past in the grocery store that their hat rocks your universe, you know, that
yep.
they look, you know, so that outfit is beautiful. I walked into a McDonald's the other day, for lack of anything else to eat on the road to Georgia, and the woman that was behind the counter, she looked so downtrodden. She looked like she hated her job, and she was just trying to, you know, to be pleasant, and she was just, you know, trying to get through her shift, and I could feel the angst. I could feel it. And I just looked at her and, you know, I wasn't trying to freak her out or anything, but I just said, honey, stop for just a moment and breathe. Just breathe. You are one of the most beautiful women I have ever laid my eyes on. You should be a model instead of working here at McDonald's. But while
right.
you're working here at McDonald's, feel that model vibe. Just go for it. And I'm telling you, when
yep.
I left that restaurant, that woman was beaming like light was emanating from all around her. Her whole entire aura changed because of a few words that I deliberately
yep.
chose to speak to her, to lift her up in what was obviously a secretive, at least attempted to be a secretive moment of isolation and desperation and despair.
That's all it takes.
And
sweetie, we are completely out of time.
Took.
We literally have less than a minute. But the good news is Andrea is going to be back with me in the next hour. So we're going to end the show. We're going to start Haunted Playground. Andrea's staying here. I love you, my friend. See you in a minute. Everybody, check out A World Awakening, Andrea's wonderful show, and look for Andrea Perrin online. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all your spiritual needs. Go find me. I'll be live on Live Paranormal's video network tonight doing the companion to this. It's called I Am Raising Your Vibration.com. Check that out at Facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. and every Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, raising the vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity. I love you all. I'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves.